I guess this has always been a problem, but some people have a difficulty making a distinction between an excuse and a reason. Now, the word excuse is used by the Holy Spirit, and it's defined in the following way. It's used in the sense of begging off, asking to be excused, or making an excuse. And this is found in Luke chapter 14, twice in verse 18 and in verse 19. Now, the first part of verse 18, it's used in the verbal sense, in the middle voice, to make excuse and acting as if. Imagine self-interest. In other words, but no real interest. But the dictionary says that excuse is to explain a fault or an offense in the hope of being forgiven or understood. And of course, more commonly, it's used in the sense of removing the blame, such as she excused herself for being late. Now, a reason is the basis or motive for an action, a decision, or a conviction. Now, to think that anyone could list all of the excuses made by people over the years for not studying the Bible would be ridiculous. Excuses are like opinions. Everybody has plenty of their own. And excuses given by people for not studying the Bible are just that. They are excuses, not reasons. The Lord condemned excuse making in the parable of the Great Supper, which is recorded for us in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Note it with me. Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" The study of God's word is the partaking of the great feast. It is the partaking of the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." All men everywhere should be thankful for the word of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, that the Word of God is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, in danger of their own spiritual destruction, though, many people, including many of our own brethren, fail to partake in the life-giving study of God's Word. They just don't study. Now, some of the excuses given in the minds of the people are, oh, this is a good excuse. Well, that's all it is, an excuse. But think about these and why they are not excuses or reasons. Listen to them carefully. Now, this one's a real popular one. I'm just too busy. I don't have time to study. Do you realize that you have 24 hours in a day? And the problem is not having time. The problem is not allocating time. You have to do some thinking on your part as to when you're going to give attention to study. You have 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. And during that, you have time to work. You have time to play. You have time to sleep. You have time to eat. And you have time to satisfy your own selfish desires. So, if we're really truthful about this, we would have to say we don't take time to study. The Apostle Paul commanded Timothy, the young gospel preacher, to study. Study, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul also wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This I don't have time excuse just won't hold water. All who make excuses like this are like the thorny ground hearers spoken of in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, 18 and 19. These are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for things other than this come in and choke the word, and they become unfruitful. They're just too busy living a life of pleasure and indulgence to think about living a life of sacrifice. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can't help but wonder if those who make this excuse for not studying God's word are too busy to die and dwell in eternity in a devil's hell. Can't help but wonder. But some think they've got it figured out. The Bible is just too hard to understand. I try to study it and I try to, but it's too hard. And you know something? Any subject is hard to understand when one does not study it diligently. If this excuse be true, the Apostle Paul was not aware of it. Because he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, how that by revelation God made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Did you hear that? Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, we noted this a moment ago, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what that verse implies? It implies that the will of the Lord can be and must be understood. As simple as that. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as in all, also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which there are some things hard to understand. Now, hold a minute. Does this mean I have reason for giving up? They're too hard. No. It just means they require a little more effort. But notice what people do with the things that are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. You notice he didn't say it was impossible to understand. The Bible can be understood when it is given diligence in studying it. To say the Bible is too hard to understand is to charge God foolishly for giving man words that he can't understand and which will judge him in the last day, which, of course, we learn from John 12 and verse 48. Who can believe that God would do that? It's just impossible. But then someone comes along and says, well, I'll tell you what. It's the job of the elders or the preacher to do the studying. And I have no doubt that there are many brethren who believe this. But do you realize what they've let happen to them? They have let happen to them what the denominational world calls the clergy-laity distinction, where all the clergy studies the Bible and then tells the laity what to believe. Yeah. Some brethren have the false notion that since we pay the preacher, it's his job to study and to spoon feed the brethren. No, I don't believe this is can be substantiated from the scriptures. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, was the command of Paul to Timothy applicable only to preachers? I hardly think so. The Hebrew writer scolded Hebrew brethren for their lack of spiritual growth, and notice this, and their failure to mature to become teachers. Look at it carefully. Hebrews 5, 12 and 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, you probably heard of the Bereans. And you know, Paul says that the Bereans were more fair-minded, New King James Version, or more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Well, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and listen to this, and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, I want to ask you this. Who was doing the searching? Was it the preacher? No. The Berean brethren were doing the searching. And Paul commanded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The fruits of this excuse are that brethren cannot teach a Bible class, or cannot or won't read the scripture before an assembly of brethren, and can't fill in when the preacher is sick or out of town. And the result? The church is weakened. And I want to say weakened by weak-minded brethren who, when they ought to be teachers, oh, that kind of sounds like Hebrews 5 and 12. When they ought to be teachers, have need that one teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. We have to remember we violate God's simple commands whenever we expect the preacher or the elders to do all our studying and all our teaching for us. But then we have those who say, well, the Bible's not really that important. What? It's not. No. The Word of God is not all we need. Denominationalism relies heavily on creeds and manuals of men or some perverted version of the Bible. The Baptists have their Baptist Church Manual. Jehovah's Witnesses have the New World Translation. Methodists have the Methodist Discipline. Mormons have their Book of Mormon. Presbyterians have their Book of Order and Book of Confessions. And United Pentecostal Church has their own manual. Some brethren are even soaking up the error of some of these writers. Charles Swindoll and Robert Schuller and Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, which is a cult, incidentally, based on the book Dianetics. But some have been taken in by the Promise Keepers. others by various cults and organizations. But they have a love for the evil devices of men and no regard for the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. Oh, I got ahead of myself. The just shall live by faith. Let us not learn to think of men more highly than we should. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, Paul reminds us of this. And let us remember the words of the wise preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making of many books there's no end, and much study is a wearisome to the flesh. But let us hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter. Listen to it. Fear God and keep His commandments, because this is man's all. That's all that it really comes down to. But some people without much teaching have made the decision that the Bible is just too negative. You know, every time I turn around, thou shalt not. And there's parts of it that I don't even read. It's just too negative. But what they really mean by this is the truth revealed in God's word exposes their sin and their error. That's what they really mean. Many of our own brethren will avoid open study, of controversial subjects. Let me tell you something that's interesting. I get meeting announcements in the mail, and meeting announcements I see on Facebook. And do you know what's conspicuously missing from those meetings? Controversial subjects, such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Or the limits of fellowship, or gambling, or immodest dress, or smoking, or social drinking, and the such like. You don't see that. They have nice topics. Nice things that will make you go home feeling nice. In some areas of the country, congregations who boldly stand for the truth and teach the whole counsel of God are boycotted by brethren who are in reality ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So, gospel meetings are avoided where these subjects are openly examined in the light of God's word. Now, the congregations that will do this are generally small in number and struggling because of their open stand against sin and compromise. And they're looked down upon, and some speak of them disparagingly. But preachers who openly warn against all sin and error are labeled by their brethren with derogatory remarks such as a watchdog preacher, a troublemaker, an extremist who has his own cause to promote, You know, I remember a prophet who was named a troublemaker. Do you remember that? Oh, there comes that troubler of Israel. That man was preaching the truth. But those who make the charges absolutely would not tolerate the preaching of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of Paul, of Peter, and even Jesus Christ. Paul warned of brethren who would reject the truth in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Now look at it carefully with me. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and aside to fables. The truth of the matter is, when a preacher boldly rebukes sin and error, one of three results will be observed. Either the sinner will be cut to the heart and repent, or the sinner will ignore the message altogether, or they will reject the message, and yes, you guessed it, they will stone the messenger. How many of God's messengers have you seen ignored, rejected, or stoned? In our lesson this morning, we have not yet touched the tip of the iceberg of the countless excuses that have been and are and always will be foolishly given for not studying the Bible. The sustaining of our faith, our spiritual survival, and our salvation depends upon proper study of God's Word. The words of the Apostle Peter are appropriate in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. May God help us to study his word with diligence. And the daily Bible reading is a good start, but it's only a start. I can't express how much benefit can be derived from just reading, but that's not all. You want to study it. You want to study the material for your Bible class. You want to be prepared. And after you hear a preacher, some preacher, it's a good idea to go home and study some more. And you say, oh, well, I don't have notes or don't have anything to refer to. Yes, you do. You have our website. You can go to Sermons Online. You can see all the charts that are used here. And then you can listen to the sermons.